worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Others part of the church worldwide here.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, ask
we listen for the wonder of God's word.
Speak to us, O Lord, for our hearts are open.
During Advent, we reach beyond the noise and distractions of this world.
Speak to us, O Lord, for our hearts are open.
During Advent, we ponder the good news that is our great joy.
Speak to us, O Lord, for our hearts are open.
During Advent, we speak words of hope to those engaged in life's struggles.
Speak to us, O Lord, for our hearts are open.
During Advent, we offer words of peace to those overcome by life's fears.
Speak to us, O Lord, for our hearts are open.
Today we light three candles. The first candle calls us to behold the wonder of the season in a fresh way. In a world where too often the familiar becomes commonplace, Advent is a time to ponder the mystery of God's amazing love. The second candle invites us to hear again the ancient prophecies that, like flames in the darkness, illuminate our world, inspire our faith, and guide our journey. As we light the third candle, we affirm that Advent is a time to hear again the still small voice calling us to behold God's promise and embrace the gift of a Savior who is Christ our Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we continue our Advent journey, we pray that we would be guided by grace, strengthened by faith, and encouraged by Christ. With the many distractions surrounding us daily, keep our eyes focused on your glory and our ears attentive to your word. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
People to thank too, because I have some very brave young people in front of you this morning. We had all kinds of calamity that happens when you try to pull things together at the last minute happen to us, and children with all kinds of commitments that were unable to be here, and some that were just downright intimidated to stand here. So I want to say these brave souls here are going to, you'll be able to see the program up on the screen, but they're going to read the story for you, and I'm going to let them pass the mic around so that you can hear them well. These are my brave readers. When we're done, we're going to sing Joy to the World together. If any of my special younger little friends would like to join us, that would be really cool. But if not, just sing really loud from where you are, which is awesome. We're going to ask all of you to join us. So Merry Christmas and enjoy this blessed story. You get to be first.
No, I don't want to be first.
Okay, then Michael will be first. Thanks, buddy.
About 2,000 years ago in the town of Narthos, there lived a young woman named Mary. She was engaged to be married to Joseph and the carpenter. Whatever. One day an angel appeared before her, whatever, and told her she had been chosen to have a special baby. The baby would be God's son, and she must call him Jesus.
Soon after the angel's visit, Mary and Joseph were married. Mary was due to have her baby when they were told they had to go on a long journey to Bethlehem, which was where Joseph came from. This was because they had to pay a special tax. Mary had to ride on a donkey for a few days over the hills of Galilee.
At last, Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem. It was crowded with other people who needed to pay their taxes. Mary was very tired, and needed a place to stay. At each inn in the story was the same. There was no room for the eventually one kind innkeeper said he's had a stable where he kept his animals. They were welcome to stay there.
And so it was that a few hours later, Mary gave birth to her son in that stable. She wrapped Jesus in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger full of hay.
At the same time, on a hillside overlooking Bethlehem, some shepherds were watching over their sheep. A bright light appeared in the sky. They were very afraid. It was an angel sent by God. Their angel told them not to be afraid because he had some good news. He said that the Son of God had been born and they would find him in Bethlehem.
The shepherds wanted to go and see the baby. When they arrived at the stable, they were filled with joy at seeing Jesus laying in the manger. They knelt down and worshipped him. They told Mary and Joseph how the little angel had appeared in the sky and told him that Jesus was to be our Savior of the world.
Far away, the east wise men saw a new star shining high in the sky. These men studied the stars and they knew this was a very special star. They studied their scrolls where it said that whenever a bright new star appeared, it meant that a great ruler had been born.
The wise men decided to find this new ruler. They went to Jerusalem to see King Herod, as they thought the baby would be in the palace. They asked to see the child that would be king of the Jews. The king was troubled. He thought this new king may take away his throne. He told them to return when they had found the baby so that he could worship the child himself.
The wise men set off to find the baby. They were guided by the star to the stable in Bethlehem. Here they knelt down and worshiped Jesus. They gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and whatever. Myrrh. The night the men had the same dream where an angel warned them. The king heard Herod wanted to kill Jesus and told them not to go back to his place.
The wise men went back to their own country without calling to see Herod. Soon after, Joseph had a dream where an angel told him to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt as King Herod had ordered that Jesus be killed. They left Bethlehem right away. When the wise man did not return, ordered that that baby boys in Bethlehem then be killed. They did not find Jesus as he was seen.
So just so you know a little bit about what happened here too, Rebecca and Michael stepped up at the very last minute today to help us out because a couple of kids that were planning to come help us do the reading had car trouble this morning, so they weren't able to make it. So even though we knew some of them had hockey games and this and that and commitments, these guys really stepped up. So thank you very much. Nice job, guys. So with that in mind, to celebrate this happy ending to this story, we'd like you all to join us in singing Joy to the World. I believe the words are going to be, yeah, up on the screen. Thank you.
I'd like to open up this portion of the service with a pastoral prayer and invite you to submit any prayer requests. You can peruse the back of your bulletin and see persons we have been praying for and continue to pray for. And try to update you just a little bit. Carol Kane, as I passed down the internet last night, is still in Passavant, but she is out of ICU and is in room 631 by the window and can now have visitors. And so we're thankful for that. And we welcome Isabel Mellinger back into church today, and with one of her family members, Darlene, and thank you for being here. And all you other guests that are here today and members, we are so appreciative that you are here today. Millie Mack, I got a call this morning. One of our members is in St. Margaret's, flu-like symptoms, but they're hoping that she will be going home tomorrow. And also, I got a note, which we will certainly be doing, and pray for the families and everyone in the Connecticut school shooting. Just a horrific thing that has happened. Any other prayer requests at this time? Beth? Their daughter Debbie marked for radiation on Christmas Eve. Some of you know her, a former custodian. His wife Georgia Maxson is having a mastectomy. Hey, Rebecca, who was just in our play, heals from her concussion. Looks like she's doing healing up good, but we'll keep those prayers going. Yes, Suzanne? Thank you. Two tumors completely gone. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Yes.
I'd like to pray for my dear friend Patricia.
Okay, friend Patricia, ovarian cancer. Anyone else? Patty?
Janet goes tomorrow.
Okay. Prayers of thanks for Marcy, was in ICU, and now is coming home tomorrow for Janet Hall. Bob's mom, who sees her oncologist tomorrow. Let's keep praying for her. And Patty? For her brother? For brother Bob Keith.
had a lung removed and needs more surgery. Let's be in prayer for him. Anyone else?
Prayer of thanksgiving that Chuck Sheets is back with us after recovery.
Yeah, for Chuck Sheets back with us after recovery. Anyone else? I lead you into prayer in our Presbyterian tradition, and the Lord's Prayer will say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. But sometimes we don't feel like rejoicing because we get caught up in the external circumstances of life, the problems that come at us. It hit us. They want to knock us down and keep us down, keep us under a burden. But Lord, help us with our Christian faith rise up above that. And as Paul in jail continued to rejoice and told us to rejoice always and to pray and to give our thanks and to find our peace and therefore our joy. Help us to do that, not only this day while we're in worship, but every day of our lives, regardless of the circumstances of our lives or our family members, to put our trust and our faith in you and to be positive about everything in our life, knowing that negativity, spoken negativity, words, negative thoughts will never, ever help us, will never help us to move forward. But to be positive and to confess our positive faith, to trust in you and to help others find that positive faith through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift all these prayers and all these persons and situations up to you. You're the one that can handle everything in this life. Help us to lay our burdens at your feet and take them off of our backs and place them upon you, the creator of the world, the creator of our very lives. You can handle it. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, trusting in you. To come together in worship, to restore and build our strength, to read our Bibles, to build our faith. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to give us the chance, the opportunity to receive him, have our salvation, eternal life, and the abundant life here upon this earth. For all the stories and the stories of healings, the teachings, everything that he did. And thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn this morning is a contemporary one. It'll be on the screen. The refrain is, choir is going to sing part, and then the congregation will sing the refrain. The King of Glory comes. Let's bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again on this Sunday, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, and we thank you that death could not hold him, but on the third day he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of power. And the Holy Spirit was sent back to empower the church to bring gifts. So we use these gifts not for our glory, but for yours. Lord, I thank you for every person that does so. Whatever it might be, the gift of singing, the gift of a kind word, or a meal for somebody, or a ride, whatever it might be, bless them, Lord. Touch their lives and let them know that you love them. Lord, thank you for everything that you do for us. Help us do for others. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and even our friend. Amen.
As the choir's coming down, I'd like to thank Leonard for only assigning verses 4 through 7 because 1 through 3 had some real hard words. It happens to all of us. Today's scripture was written by Paul while he was a prisoner in Rome to the church in Philippi. Paul had a special place for the church of Philippi, for it was one of the churches that he started, and he saw some great things happening there. He told them to rejoice and be glad, and it's important for us to be rejoice and be glad in this time when we anticipate the coming of our Savior. So listen to your own personal message as I read Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Bless the reading of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. I figured I owed you after last week. Some of you are probably anxious right now. We've had added Advent reading to the service, the junior program. We have the ordination installation of elders, and I've still got to preach a 45-minute sermon. I won't do that to you. I pared it down, and I'm going through my mind, what can I pare out a little bit? So we'll see. But I want to give you some very good news this morning that's important. You were made for joy. You don't always think of it that way, but you, my friends, were made to live a joyful life. You weren't made to fret. You were not made to worry. You were not made to think dark or evil thoughts. You were made for peace and love and light and joy. That's how God created you, and that's what God would like for you to do. And be honest about it, that's what other people around you would like to get from you. It makes us all happier when you are nice, when you are joyful, when you are loving and kind, and you say words that are edifying and build up the body of Christ, not words that would tear it down or tear your family down or your employees down or the person at the cash register down, wherever it might be. It was a story of a woman who dreamed of traveling through England, and she finally got to do it, and she was taking her train ride back a long time ago, and she was getting cold, and she was sitting by the window sleeping, and she decided to move everything around. She was going from the U.S. traveling through and on the boarded train, and after a short time she began fretting about, just worrying about the windows and the temperature. So she complained about her seat assignment, rearranged her luggage and so on, spent all this time doing it, trying to get everything just perfect, just right, and suddenly she realized the trip was over. The journey had come to its end. With deep regret, she said to the person meeting her, "If I'd known I was going to arrive so soon, I wouldn't have wasted my time fretting and worrying about it." That is the story of so many of us. We realize that we spend time fretting and worrying about so many things, complaining about this and that, and yet life is passing by us so quickly, at a rapid speed. We're gaining age. Time is going by. So let me say it again, my friends. You were made for joy. You weren't made to fret. You were not made to worry. You were not made to think dark or evil thoughts. You were made for peace and love and light and joy. St. Paul understood that. He said to rejoice in the Lord always and not to be anxious about anything. The amazing thing is that St. Paul wrote this when he was under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard. Now how can you be not anxious? How can you have a joyful attitude when you're in that type of a situation? I think I would have been anxious under that circumstance, just knowing that I was in prison. Knowing probably that I was going to my death would have made me anxious and fretting and worrying, what's going to happen to me? A normal reaction. But it takes a special kind of faith to proclaim joy in such a dire circumstance. And that type of faith comes from living in the center of God's will and God's love for your life. Not playing around with Christianity, not playing around with churches, just coming to church and just church out here and God out here on the fringes of your life, but putting God in the center of your life. God, what do you really want for me? What do you really desire for me? What is it that robs you of your joy? Is it worrying about the future? That's the root of much of our anxiety. We worry about the future, what will happen. Ann Landers used to get 10,000 letters a month about people's problems. She said the number one concern was anxiety. She said that people were afraid of losing their health, losing their wealth, losing their loved ones, but one of the things they were afraid of was life itself. They were just afraid of living life. She said people are afraid of everything. A man was lying in bed one night and he found himself worrying and he thought to himself, you know, it's very strange. Here I am lying in bed and I don't have a thing to worry about. I can't think of a thing that I need to be worrying about. Then it came to him, that really worries me. You know anyone like that? They can't find something to worry about. They manufacture it. Something's got to be wrong. I've got to find something to worry about. It's the little things that tie us up in knots most of the time. The insightful writer Eert Denson said, God made the world round so that we wouldn't be able to see down the road. I really like that. I really like that. I'd never thought of that before. Very creative. And that's true. We can't see down the road, and there's a reason for it. That's the cause of anxiety for many of us. Because when we do try to look down the road, we're not looking down the road with faith. We're looking down the road with anxiety and with fret and with fear instead of with trust in God of what the future holds. So many people do that. Pastor John Ortenberg tells us of something interesting fact about the motion picture. I don't know anybody that's not seen it. Maybe a few. It's A Wonderful Life. When it came out in 1946, it was not the box office hit that most people thought it would be. It was only later that it really started catching fire. And it's really a classic hit now, and some people watch it every Christmas now and own it on DVD or cassette, you know, or download it, however everyone does it nowadays. But it was about George Bailey, a young man who dreams of doing great things such as traveling and making his father proud. But none of his dreams are realized. So he ends up trapped in a small town with a two-bit savings and loan company and wondering whether his life is worth anything at all, whether it's all been for naught. Of course, he discovers that his life is very valuable because of the impact that it has had on other people. Because he was looking at it from the wrong perspective. Ortenberg says that the article said that that movie is now more popular because it talks about the disappointment. And one of the reasons for the resurgence is that baby boomers can identify so much with that movie. Not just baby boomers, but you know, so many baby boomers and what we've gone through in our lives, that life has not always turned out the way that we planned it or thought that it would. And we want to know that we matter, that what we have done with our lives has been worthwhile. We wanted the reassurance that when all is said and done, that overriding feeling that we will not be disappointed with our lives lived. And I ask you this morning, is that the source of your anxiety, that you're afraid that your life is a disappointment? Some people lose their joy because they're continually comparing their lives with other people's lives. Growing up in the South, we always call it comparing, trying to keep up with the Joneses. So they focus not on their blessings, but they focus on their shortcomings. Future is Faith Popcorn, and every time I say that name, I just love that name, says that the possible downside of the internet is what she calls comparative anxiety. Because you can go to the internet right now and put your data in and look at it, and people are saturated with this, and it allows everyone to compare everything instantly. And so you have a child, and you compare your child to other children. Is your child at the same level that other children are? And if not, you begin to worry. You can compare them with children all over the world. Is my child speaking as quickly? Is my child walking as quickly? She predicts this ability to benchmark yourself in seconds or your children will create an increasing epidemic of comparative anxiety, a national wave of insecurity. And I think she's right. Is that what is robbing you of your joy, comparing yourself with others? Teenagers are great about it. They have to have the right musical instrument, the right clothes. Then we get teenagers, we've got to have the right car. Then we have to have the right college. Then we get older, we have to have the right house. And some parents are worrying right now, will I have the right presents under the tree? Will my children have as many presents under the tree as the neighbors? Will Uncle Billy Bob be able to give our family more presents than I am able to give the family? Will he outdo us as parents? And we fret over it. Some of you remember comedian George Gobel. Some of you see him in reruns. He found one way to deal with this particular anxiety. Some of the older members will remember him. Lonesome George, his favorite saying, I'm a dirty bird. George Gobel lived across the street from Lou Costello, Abbott Costello fame. And Costello always got into Christmas every year with elaborate setups with angels and music and reindeer and just hundreds of lights, you know, before it was quite as popular as it is today. Well, Gobel did nothing for Christmas. He didn't get caught up in trying to outdo him. He simply put a sign up in his front yard that said, "See our display across the street." That's what I'm doing next year. That's one way to deal with comparative anxiety. Humor. We need humor. Do you remember the first thing that the angel said to the shepherds watching the fields during Christmas? Fear not. And that's a very important word for us as we approach Christmas and we approach our life. Fear not. Don't be afraid of the future with this uncertainties. The second thing the angel said was, "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Christmas was never intended to be a season of anxiety, but of joy. And that's why Paul was able to write in Philippians was so appropriate for the third Sunday of Advent, the theme of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. Christmas should not be robbing us of our joy and setting us up for times of anxiety and stress. I'm going to close with this example. Anthony Evans tells about a night that darkness descended on New York City. New York City went dark. A lot of us saw it on television, and people were out robbing and all kind of things were going down. The United Nations was down, Wall Street, the subways, airports, transportation. But there was one little diner that was open. And Evans, Reverend Evans, said that people were lined up and they were getting food. And all the lights and the Christmas lights and everything were on. And he went to him and he said, "Mister, I don't understand. Everything is dark and yet it's lit up like a Christmas tree here. How can that be?" Manager said, "Well, it's really fairly simple. When we built this place, we built it with a gas generator. We've got the power on the inside that is not determined by the circumstances on the outside." Reverend Evans goes on to say that when you accept Jesus Christ, he comes on the inside. Comes on the inside. So what's happening on the outside is not the determining factor of what's happening on the inside. Because you are a powerhouse, you are a lighthouse on the inside because you have Jesus Christ in your heart. So what's happening out there shouldn't affect your joy from the inside. God has given us a generator of life and liberty in our souls through our relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't have to live our lives determined by life's circumstances. "Fear not," said the angel to the shepherds, "but behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be for all people." And here's the reason we have light and hope during December's darkness, and it is a dark, dreary month. Here's how we can have the eternal joy in the midst of eternal despair. A Savior has been born to us. During the junior church program, we sang one of Isaac Watts' most outstanding pieces, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Joy to the world, the Lord has come. So don't worry about your future this Advent season. God is in ultimate control. Don't worry about disappointing your family or friends. Just let them know that you love them. No gift that you can give them of material value will ever mean more than that. It may temporarily seem so, but it won't. It's the greatest gift that you can give them, love and support. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. Thanksgiving. Find your peace, and you'll have your joy. May God bless you. Amen. For all you visitors, we normally don't go over, but it's been one of those kind of weird Sundays. I'll soon be having our feeding everybody today. So I'm going to call those that are being ordained and installed and reinstalled. Deacons and elders, if you'll come forward. Some are coming on the boards for the very first time. Heather's coming on as a deacon for the first time, so she'll be... You're fine right there. And Faith is coming on as a deacon for the very first time, not been ordained, correct? And Paul's coming on as an elder for the first time. Jim's coming back on after being off for a while, a three-year term. Suzanne, you're coming on for another three-year term, is that right? And this is our clerk of session. She'll be asking questions. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to read this and ask you these questions, and you respond with I do's and I will's. God has called you by the voice of the church to serve Jesus Christ in a special way. You know who you are and what you believe, and you understand the work for which you have been chosen. And we will talk more about that later. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge Him, Lord of the world and head of the church, and through Him, believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I do. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you? Will you be instructed by the confessions of our church and led by them as you lead the people of God? I will. Will you, as elders and deacons, be in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and continually guided by our confessions? I will. Do you endorse our church's government, and will you honor its discipline? Will you be a friend among your comrades in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit? I do, and I will. Will you govern the way you live by following the Lord Jesus Christ, loving neighbors, and working for the reconciliation of the world? I will. Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? I will. This is for elder only. Will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship and instruction? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in courts of the church and in your ministry? Will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Now for deacons. Will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Our clerk has questions for you, the congregation, because we are in this together. And you'll respond with, we do.
Do we, members of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, accept as elders and deacons those chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ?
We do.
Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church.
We do.
Those that need to be ordained, if you'll come stand before me. I invite any elders, current or past, from in our church or from other Presbyterian churches, would like to come up for the service of the laying on of hands. This goes back to the very beginning of the church, the laying on of hands. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, this third Sunday in Advent, for the ordination of these elders and deacons. We believe that we have not called them, but you have. We thank you for that, for your guidance, for the gifts that you have given to them, that they may not even realize that they have, for giving them a sense of judgment, of caring, compassion, that you fill them with your Holy Spirit for leadership, that they will be able and have a desire to work with others on the council and the board to the best of their ability, to serve and to love with compassion and empathy, with devotion, always looking to you for divine guidance. And that we as a congregation will give them our support, our understanding, realizing the decisions that they make might not be the same the decision that we would have made. But we have chosen them, and we will pray for them. Lord, thank you. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for their abilities. Thank you for their willingness. Fill them with energy. Fill them with love. Bless them, Lord. Touch them. In the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. Welcome. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And you three that are coming on the first time, or any others, if y'all would stay up here after the song and give the congregation a chance to welcome them, especially those that are coming on the first time. And our closing hymn will be number 82. Oh, come let us adore him. Thank you for being here today. I hope you'll Feel free to come back next week. I forgot to ask you to sign your red pads with the name and address, that type of information. We would have a record of your attendance here today. I hope everyone can stay for the Christmas party. Food will be out on the table in just a few minutes, ham and all side dishes. It doesn't matter if you didn't know and you didn't bring anything. There's plenty of food, so I hope that you can stay and eat with us. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you felt a great sense of joy and peace, and you feel like going from here rejoicing because God has touched your life in a very special way. It doesn't mean that you don't have problems in your life and you're not facing maybe great difficulties, but Jesus is at the center of your life, and you have hope, and you have people around you that love you. May you go from here knowing that you are blessed and loved, and may you share that blessing and love and joy with others, that they can find the peace that passes all understanding through relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.